no music to them. I can get, you can get it for me, yeah. Thank you, Mrs. O'Neill and Mimo. Thank you very much. Yeah. Last night, the song that Miss Leah sang, I wanted the words to it, and I got them. And then this song tonight, do you know who wrote it, Miss Claire? Where'd you go? Sorry? I don't know any of those people, but thank you. Okay. Anyway, that's awesome. The message is absolutely true. And that's what I've been preaching this week. And by God's grace, I'll get to continue that again tonight and work on it. Let's see. If you put a marker in Romans chapter 8, put a marker there. Chapter 2. And then we'll turn to Ephesians, which is after Romans, a few pages, quite a few. Ephesians chapter 2. So I, again, want to thank Pastor for inviting me and allowing me to come. Through the years, I have preached here a few times, and I have said it in the past, and I believe it with my soul. We are good friends, but I just know he doesn't ask me to come because we're good friends. He asked me to come, and one of the reasons is I believe God stirs him to do that, but I do endeavor to preach the Bible. And that's what Berean Baptist Church is about, wants to hear the Bible. If I was going to do some other stuff, he said, well, you go ahead and do that stuff other places, but we really would like to have the Bible preached here. And I'm grateful for that. And I do believe that there are some across the country that they do not invite me because of that very reason. They know that I'm going to be direct and preach the Bible. And so on, and which I'm not disappointed. I'm grateful that I get to go to places that want to hear it. And so praise the Lord. Amen. So I want to thank you for that. And I want to thank you for giving to an offering to be a help and a blessing to Nancy and I every week. Not every church. Some churches just give us a check, but a lot of churches take up kind of a love offering thing. And I'm humbled every week that people that are just regular folks take stuff out of their bank account, out of their living expenses, and be a blessing to Nancy and I. So thank you. That is humbling also that God does that for us. I am grateful. I'll just go ahead and do this now. Brother Ligon sent a text to Pastor today, and we were together, and Pastor showed me the text. And it said, Brother McCracken, if he could tonight, I'd sure like it if he could kind of give us a timeline about this thing of being Spirit-filled. And so in my head, I'm thinking, well, timeline is moment by moment. It's like all the time, like right now, be filled, right now, be filled, right now, be being kept filled, right now, be filled now. And so that's the timeline. And so the fourth service, I told him about it. I read that, and I said, I also considered that you might be talking about me, about the timeline for me and what God's done for me that I am grateful for, and I've mentioned to you since March. And that is more of what he had in mind. And in this message tonight, some of that will come out. I don't know to the depth or the extent. I do have a lot of things written down that I am kind of supposed to say that I helps me get there. But so what I'm getting at now is that ever since Brother Ligon asked me that, we were standing here talking, I was unable to sing any of the congregational songs because I'm so emotional and I'm so grateful for the work God's been doing in me. And then when I think about what I'm going to try to get across here tonight, I'm humbled again, and I'm grateful. I'm overwhelmed that he lets me do this. And if I get to conclude with Peter, like I'd like to conclude with Peter, I am so overwhelmed with what God did for Peter when he was so atrocious in what God did for him, and how that I shouldn't be so surprised that God's still like that. He's still like that. That's a blessing to me. So anyway, I am grateful for the friendship that I've learned to have with some of the congregation, and that I truly have a respect and a love for you and appreciation. And I just am grateful. So if you got your Bibles, I told you to put a marker in somewhere, Romans 2. I don't know, did I tell you to go to Ephesians? Good. All right, let's all stand then. We stand to give reverence and honor to the eternal, infallible, inerrant, it's the perfect, preserved Word of God. We are not looking for the Bible, we have it. God's grace and kindness preserved it for us, and I give Him praise and thanksgiving for that. So, I do want to say to you friends and guests that came, thank you. Thank you for coming. You blessed the person that invited you. You blessed Berean Baptist Church, and you blessed me by your attendance. Thank you. Thank you for coming. Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 8. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. A couple pages over, chapter 5, Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 18. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Now, after Ephesians, right in front of the Revelation, 1 John chapter 1. John chapter 1, verse 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, of the Word, the capital Word of life. And the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father, was manifested unto us, that which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we've heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him, walk in darkness, another word for that might could be called the flesh or carnality, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Now turn with me back to the Gospel of John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John chapter 15. John chapter 15. Okay, verse number 1. Jesus Christ says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Verse 4. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. Well, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. Would you read those last phrase with me? Let's read it together. For without me ye can do nothing. Let's pray. Our great God, I do love you again. I just want to say thanks. I'm overwhelmed. I'm grateful. I'm to be humbled and to be emotional tonight for your great kindness and love to me, and that you let me do such a thing. And I pray for your help tonight and power and unction to communicate. And that, God, you would take what is said and however you want it to pierce hearts, minds, flesh, that it would take place. And that we would all be willing, ready, and agreeable with what you and your word have to say tonight. That, Lord, we'd be willing to surrender in faith and by faith to what you have for us. So thank you and praise you for everything. Thank you for what we've already enjoyed. What a hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you, Christ. Thank you for what you're about to do. We give you all the glory. And Jesus, truly, we cannot wait. We're excited. We look forward to when we get to see you. And it's in your mighty and holy name we pray, Christ. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Just a reminder, the key aspect of salvation is in the simple phrase, in Christ Jesus. A Christian is a person who is in Christ Jesus. Just go ahead and say amen. Amen. Not only are we in him, but he also is in us. Praise his name. We just read here in John 15. There's lots of stuff, and anyway, we could preach quite a while on this. I just want to bring out a couple of things. Jesus announces that he is the true vine. That's obvious then. There evidently are some other ones. And they are called the Antichrist. They're called the false Christ. Where are they? They're everywhere. He also announces that his Father, God the Father, is the husbandman. What is that? Well, one of the ways to acknowledge it anyway is that he's like the owner. But it's beyond that, because they could have just said he owns it. He called him the husbandman. The husbandman actually is the caretaker. The husbandman is the one that looks over the garden, over the vineyard. And he's talking about a vine here, so the husbandman is looking over the vine. And so you got to get this inside your brain, friend. God knows when it's stormy. He knows when it's uncomfortable. He knows when it's being attacked. He's not dense to that. He's not oblivious to that. He's involved in it. So never, ever, ever think that as we are connected to Christ, that God would leave us out somewhere without any of his help or protection. Mercy sakes. When it says that I am the vine and ye are the branches, you can't bear fruit except you abide in the vine. He's making it plain that there is no doubt about it, that Jesus is the vine and that Christians are connected to Jesus. The Bible word is graft. We are grafted into Jesus. He took the nation of Israel, who were the olive tree, and God in his great mercy and kindness grafted in what would be called, the Bible calls it, the wild olive branch, olive tree, and he grafted us into the same supply that he promised the nation of Israel. Wow. We are in Christ. We're connected at the moment of salvation. So watch, when we got connected, when we got grafted in, when we were placed into Jesus Christ, listen carefully, this is not something that we did. We have no ability to attach ourselves to Jesus. We have no ability to graft ourselves into Jesus. This is something that was done by Him. He did it. The work, you can say it like this, the work was done by God. It was done by Jesus. It was done by the Holy Spirit. All of the work was done by God, not us. And it's so important that we capture that. Not only are we grafted in Him, everything that He has now, everything the vine has is now supplied to the branch. If you know anything at all about any horticulture or fruit trees or whatever, the tree doesn't say, you know, I think I'll give this branch a little more. They all have access to every bit of it. Mercy. We are so human and carnal. We think, well, God bless them a little more than us. All of this is to bring, watch, all of this is to bring glory to the husbandman or to the vine. Okay, get it in your brain. I did not graft myself into Jesus. He placed me there. I can do nothing to keep myself grafted to Jesus. It's a once and for all deal. Since I said it, I wrote it. I didn't write it, it's in the Holy Bible, but I've got my notes. I am in Him eternally. It's like eternal life. Watch this, you can produce zero fruit on your own. Everything that the branch would do, accomplish, comes from the vine. That's incredible. There is nothing, I love this phrase, there is nothing expected of the branch to do on his own. We are just a branch. So I had Brother Alexander and whomever he got to help pass out a piece of paper. I'd like for you to look at that. It's a prayer that was written by Michael Wells. This prayer has been part of my life since the month of March. I've never calculated, but I'm certain that I say this prayer somewhere around 5 to 8, maybe 10 times a day. It's become part of my life. I've not yet memorized the entire words of it, but I sure have the entire thought of it down. And I'd like for you to look at it. I'd like to read it to you. He says, "Dear Father, I thank you and praise you for the life of the vine. Today, in this moment, I choose to abide and allow you to fill me with the precious life of your Son, the true vine." Excuse me. Does that make sense? I'm going to give you another chance. Does that make sense? It does to me. Watch, keep going. "This day, Lord, I thank you that I am in you and you are in me. Thank you that no matter how I feel, I abide in you. Thank you, Lord, that it's not a position I must struggle to maintain. For you have put me there. This moment is all I will be concerned for. And so I accept my position of abiding with joy. Thank you, Christ. This tiny prayer has been a huge help and strength, encouragement. Maybe the strongest word for me is the strength that it's poured into me and helped me with. Watch, this life that is in and from the vine, listen to what it produces. I didn't write it. But when you have Jesus Christ and you're connected to Him and you're not quenching Him, it produces something called rivers of life, which is the Christ life. It produces fountains of living water, which is the Christ life. It produces an abundant life, which is the Christ life. It produces the victorious life, which is the Christ life. It produces fellowship with God. Mercy. That's the Christ life. And this kind of life, this Christ life, produces fruit. Really? Well, yeah. So I wrote down, well, what fruit? Well, one of the things that it produces is an abundant life. What could be better? Well, one of the things, it produces a spirit-filled life. It produces a victorious life. Are you getting it, ladies and gentlemen, that if you have the life of Christ flowing through you, that means you have the life of Christ. And all of that is obvious that I have fellowship with God. I have the victorious life, abundant life. It's a hallelujah, friend. And it's so heartbreaking that many of us that know Him as Savior, we've been born again, that we've given our sin over Him, but we've not given our will over to Him. And we have this crummy Christian life that the missionary asks the question, is your Christian life, is your Christianity what needs to be sent over to a foreign land that will change their life? The life of Christ is, but is our life? Well, it also, it's obvious, the Bible would say that it produces the fruit of the Spirit. It's love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Somebody say amen. Amen. Just since we're talking about it, and I might as well be honest with you folks, there are eight pieces here, eight things that it says that it's obvious. Other fruit of the Spirit, well, I think it'd be the abundant life. Everybody with me? Victorious life. So on, joyful life. Submissive life. Happy heart. Remember we did those? But these eight things are obvious. But I'm just go ahead and tell you to your face. I'm not being hateful to you. I'm telling you that it'd be hard pressed to find one person in here to say, I know someone that has all eight of them and they show up all the time. No, I'm just saying to you, I think we're supposed to be filled right now, be filled, be being filled, be being kept filled, right now, be filled right now. And we go, well, I don't know what you're talking about. There ain't no way I can do that. Excuse me? Is anybody getting this? No. This is what the heartbreak in my life is. That my life has been like this all the time, and I haven't enjoyed moment by moment filling of the Spirit where these eight traits show up in my life. That this part of me, I don't have to exercise. I don't have them. He has them. But they're just part of my life. Is anybody getting this? Mercy sake. The river of life, Pastor Abels asked me to move the door down, that it'd be closer to the belly down here. But the river of life is flowing out of a spirit-filled person. The door is wide open. Somebody say amen. We're supposed to be being filled right now. So here's a question I have. Is it possible for the door to shut and I'm not Spirit-filled. Okay, five people, that's not bad. We shut the door by disobedience. Somebody say amen. We shut the door by not walking in faith. I don't know if you heard a little statement I made the other night. I don't know which night it was, but we do almost everything we can not to live by faith. And when we do that, the door is shut. It is shut by any works of the flesh, and I liked how the scripture says it, and such like. So here's another question I have. Now I'm going to do it for me, and I am using me as the illustration, but anyway, it could be we. How long can we go with the door shut? How long can I go without the moment-by-moment filling of the Holy Spirit? Is it possible to go about my daily life with the door shut? Is it possible that I could continue to serve and do things with the door shut? Is it possible that I can do good things, right things, with the door shut? And the answer is yes, yes, yes. When I am serving, when I am doing things, and I am going all day long, and I'm doing all these activities that might even be church-related, might even be Christian-related. Listen carefully. When I do it with the door shut, it's not in the power of the Spirit, it's in the power of the carnal man. It's in the power of the flesh. It's called self-righteousness. When you and I try to please God and do godly things and Christian things and we got the door shut, we're doing it in the power of the flesh. And God calls that self-righteousness. It smacks of a Pharisee. And that's why on purpose I spent some time Monday night talking about the Pharisees and how Jesus rejected them. They were doing so much stuff. Jesus said, that ain't even close, boys. And God rejects it, and I even say it makes him want to vomit. We are carnal Christians. When the door is shut, whatever these things are and all this stuff I'm doing, it's in the power of the flesh. What if I pray? So I'll just go ahead and tell you. I've told you already that I've gone weeks and months with the door shut, and I've been in the ministry, and I say things like this. Dear God, I thank you that you let me preach here tonight. Dear God, you know me, and I know me, and I'm just asking you to forgive me of my sin and fill me right now and let me preach. Oh, I mean, it's all good. All you got to do is say the words, it's done. Is everybody hearing me? That's not a little get-out-of-jail-free card. It's not a little card that says, okay, now your spirit feels, just go ahead and let her rip, boy. Just because you say it. Because you know it's right to say. So anyway, I'm going to spend some time on what I consider one of the obvious carnal behavior work of the flesh for Christians. Here's what we do as Christians. We begin to do something that the Bible would call that we compare ourselves among ourselves or measure ourselves among ourselves. Listen to Corinthians chapter 10. But they, measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves, here's what the Bible says, are not wise. So where your marker is, Romans chapter 2. Let me show you this one. Romans chapter 2. Well, verse 1, listen to the Holy Bible. Therefore, thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest. For wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself. For thou that judgest doest the same thing. Oh, praise God, that was written to lost people. No. Hey, old man, thou that judgest another. Is anybody hearing that? Now, I'm getting ready to do something, and I basically have permission to do this. My wife is one of the dearest, purest people I know. Totally pure, virtuous woman as a teenager, a high schooler, college girl. I met her in college. Mercy, I was gravitated to her. She was just amazing. And she was, and she said yes, and we got married, and she was virtuous and really pure as the driven snow until she married me. I drug her down the pipes. Not terribly, because she mainly won't go. She's always telling me, no, we don't do that. No, that's wicked. Why do you even think like that? What are you doing? Don't you know better than that? You're supposed to be a man of God. Is you hearing me? She knows what's right and what's wrong. And I might not always know the same thing she knows. So I will tell you, because of Nancy's upbringing, and that she believes the Bible, and she believes this is how a Christian looks, this is how a Christian talks, this is how a Christian behaves, this is what Christians do, that if you don't do those things, talk like that, or look like that, or if you, she can't help it. I'm just saying, this is Nancy's built in her, that she goes, they are so wicked. I can't believe that they say they're a Christian and they're doing that. Is anybody hearing me? It's aggravating that there are people out here. You would say, what in the world? I thought you were a believer. What in the world are you talking like that? Why are you hanging out with those people? Why are you going there? Is everybody hearing me? And Nancy has the ability to go, that ain't right. That is wicked. And there's no way that those people are right with God. Is everybody hearing me? And we do that. We compare ourselves. We know what we're supposed to do. And so just so y'all know, Nancy and I have had to talk. And I said, well, Nancy, you know what the Holy Bible says. I know you say you've never drank. You're not a thief. You never curse. There's words that she can't say out loud that are not curse words, but she can't say them out loud because it's kind of wrong. My mom washed my mouth out with soap, or something people say all the time. And Nancy, she didn't have to have her mouth washed out, but there's words she doesn't say. But there are times that she was spelling, trying to tell me I'm not supposed to talk like that. I'm just saying, so here's the deal, Nancy. I didn't write the Bible. But who art thou, old man, or old woman? Who art thou that thou judgest another? I didn't write it, honey. Thou that judgest, doest the same thing. And Nancy would say, hey, Bubba, I have never been drunk in my life. I've never been acting wild like that. I don't participate in those parties. You cannot say that. And I'd say, wait, honey. You're going to have to argue with God. Because God said, honey, you do the same thing. Well, how could we do the same thing? Listen carefully. This is the key. Because Nancy is a carnal person too. And carnal people do carnal things. I'll just go ahead and say same things. But because they didn't do, I didn't do what they did, that means I'm a little better than they are. So soon as you and I start pointing the finger at someone else, we just going to have to take it up with God. And I wrote it in my notes like this. Excuse me? Which one of us is going to argue with the Word of God? See, I check out their behavior. I compare their behavior to my behavior. And I'm comparing them. I'm measuring them by me. And so here we go. And I know it's going to be troubling for a moment for some of you, but I compare them to my view of Christianity. I'll just go ahead and say it. I compare them to my list. They don't measure up to my list. And I'm judging them, realizing they are not as good a Christian as I am. And I'm hoping they are desensitized as much as I am, that they're not able to discern when someone's spirit-filled and when someone's not. The result is that Christianity becomes a list that we do. So, we can show others that we're doing fine. And maybe even convince ourselves that we're not as bad as we thought. Or convince ourselves we could be worse. All right, now listen carefully. In the 1970s, I graduated from Bible college. And in the 1970s, probably happened all, ever since Christianity has been going on. But in the 70s and the 80s, especially the 70s, there was this big old push about, what are you doing talking about lists? You folks, why do you have your list? You think your list is better than my list, and because of that, your Christianity is all a list. You don't put it, throw away your stupid list and just love Jesus. And when they would do that, I would be violently angry. I want to rip their head off and say, you are crazy, man. Christians have parameters. I didn't make them, Jesus did. The Holy Bible has boundaries. No. But because there are boundaries, if we're not careful, our carnal man will start saying that, well, I'm in the top 10 percentile of the best Christian in this church. I'm at least in the top 50%. Because about everybody here, well, no. And the parameters are real. But what I'm doing, I'm comparing myself among ourselves, and my door is shut, and I'm a carnal man. And God said, hey, Bubba, you do the same things. You think you're better than they are? Because they don't do, or they do stuff you don't think you should do. Is everybody hearing me? And if we're not careful, it becomes this comparative thing. But since we're talking about it, let's just go ahead and take it right now. When the door is open, I'm not concerned about if you're doing the list or not. That's not even in my brain. When the door's open, I'm letting His life live through me. And when I am truly Spirit-filled, I'm not worried about if I'm inside the parameters or not. Are there guidelines? Yeah. And sometimes I bump up against them and the Holy Spirit speaks to me and I go, hey, you can't, don't be going there. Turn your head. Go look the other way. Go. Is everybody hearing me? Wow. But we think our list is better than theirs, and so I'll just tell you, I'm still in the work. I could say the word we. We're still in the work. We're still doing stuff. We're still reading our Bible. Yep. Still reading. We still attend church. We came on Thursday night. Good night. What more do you want? Still pray some. I'm teaching my class, still singing in the choir, still singing specials, yeah. I'm still writing sermons, I'm still preaching, I'm still giving, and all along the door is shut and I'm in the wilderness and there is no lasting satisfaction or peace. Oh no, I'm trying, I'm working at it really hard. I'm doing all kinds of church stuff. Listen carefully, you know what the Bible calls this stuff? Wood, hay, and stubble. Is it wrong to tithe? No. But when I'm tithing just to try to get God to reward me and trying to prove to Him, see, I'm Spirit-filled, He says, I don't care, that's wood, hay, and stubble. I'm knocking on doors and I'm just trying to show God how spiritual I am and prove to Him that I'm pretty good, He can keep blessing me. It's wood, hay, and stubble, even though I'm knocking on doors. Whoa. See, listen carefully. Look up here. Let me show you something. I can do the list with my eyes shut. Better yet, I can do the list with the door shut. My carnal man can be taught to do anything, and he will do anything not to let God have control. And I think, I got pretty good control here. I'm doing stuff for God. Because I know in my soul the door is shut. I'm not yet truly repented. I'm not truly surrendered by faith to be obedient. I've not given my will to Christ. I'm not walking in the light. I know that God knows that I am truly not Spirit-filled. I know it. I'm telling you, when you start getting so honest with yourself and your carnal man and how active he is and how much he moves around in your life, and then you go, well, God, I'm doing pretty good. Come on. And God says, Bubba, you're not even close. You're acting like a Pharisee. I know that God knows that I still have fleshly, carnal, wicked, evil sin in my life. Listen carefully. That I am not turning away from. No, wait. Did I ever go to the altar? Yeah. Did I ever mean it? Yes, I cried and used several Kleenexes. I meant it. God, I'm sorry. I'm so wicked and I'm embarrassed. I'm so wicked. This is sickening. Please, God, listen carefully. Please, God, take it from me. I'm tired of this having any control of my life. Please. And I mean it with all my heart. And I get up and go back to my seat, and in 1 week or 1 month or 2 months, I go back and I pick up the very thing that I said I'm sorry for. I don't know if you're hearing me or not. My Christianity is like this. And I say, man, what kind of victorious life is this? This is not the kind of Christianity that I want to. I don't want them over there in Burma to have my kind of Christianity. I want them to have like a Christ-like one. I consistently lose battles to all kinds of works of the flesh. The door's shut. So I wrote these words down. It doesn't have to be one of the big three. You know, like lust, coveting, wantonness. It doesn't even have to be, it could be maybe one of the little three. The little three, like lying, you know, cover up, not telling the whole truth. Just the little three. Some of you, it's in my notes right here, some of you that are paying attention may say, Brother Dave, those are not the big three. And they're certainly not the little three. And I would say to you, well, who decides which is the big three and the little three? I do. It's my list. Wow. Do you know that God doesn't have a big three or a little three? It doesn't matter how big, how little. If it quenches and grieves the Holy Spirit, the filling has stopped. The flow has stopped. The door is shut.
And you and I go about our daily lives, and we're busy, we're doing all kinds of stuff. We shut the door at 8 o'clock in the morning, or noon, we shut the door, and we haven't even thought about it all day. And then all of a sudden, 2 days have gone by. Oh no, I read my Bible this morning. I did it. I made it to church on time. And the door is shut. Is anybody hearing me? Wait. God, I'm still trying. I'm doing the best I can. I'm doing the right things. It doesn't matter, boy. You're in the wilderness. Your effort is not spiritually produced. You can teach your carnal man to do anything. So here we go again. In the wilderness, I am not spirit-filled. I'm not walking in the light. I'm not controlled by the Holy Spirit of God. So I want to take a breath here, and I want to picture something. To me, this is kind of a key chunk that helped me. Ponder this with me. Listen. Does God bless His kids when they're in the wilderness? You ever read Exodus? Does any miracles ever happen in the wilderness? Yeah. I'll just mention a couple. Deliverance from their oppressor. Guidance day and night. Bitter waters turn sweet. Rivers coming out of a rock enough to take care of the whole nation. Manna that was always there. So much quail, it was coming out their nose. That's a miracle. Clothes and shoes that don't wear out. Protection from the surrounding enemies. Listen, when God blesses us in the wilderness, listen, when Dave McCracken's door is shut and God blesses me, my carnal man, you know what he says? You've done pretty good. Evidently, you're not as bad as you thought you were. God keeps blessing you. He keeps letting you do this. He gave you another opportunity. And in my brain, I'm thinking that God is actually, it's not just blessing me, that He's rewarding me because I'm doing the stuff. And I know, and God knows, I really haven't given Him my whole will. The door is still shut. I can't give Him half my will. I just can't give Him the Sunday will. Is anybody listening to this? I tell you, it was terribly convicting to me. I think because I'm trying to do the list, and my list is a good one, I know it is, that God goes, McCracken, you got some stuff in your life, but I'm just going to pour the blessings on you. I continue to live as if I have some part in overcoming sin in my life. But I have surrendered my sin to Christ, but I have not yet surrendered all of my will. I continue to hang on to my sin. I continue to be tripped up by my sin. I would go to the altar and I would try to leave it there, and I meant it. And I would continue to do my Christianity, and I had no idea. Listen, folks, I had no idea that I was actually trying to help God. If He'd work with me a little bit here, He'd give me some of His power, and I'm trying to help Him, that I could be a good servant for Him. And that makes God want to throw up. He will not accept my help. He will not share His glory with me. So I think this is an honest question. Why on earth would God bless any of us bozos in the wilderness? Why would He do any miracle for us? Why did He do anything for the nation of Israel? They were such knuckleheads. Well, there's a wilderness psalm in the Bible. I'll just read a piece of it to you. It's Psalm 78. Listen to it. But God, being full of compassion, listen carefully, It's what God did for me too. God, being full of compassion, forgave their iniquity and destroyed them not. Yea, many a time turned he his anger away and did not stir up all his wrath. I don't know 100% about you. I'm pretty familiar with humans, but I'm not going to judge you. I'm not. But I will tell you, the only reason that I'm breathing air is that he turned away his anger many a time in my life. The only reason he lets me stand in front of people and even try to preach his word, even when I'm carnal, is because he is a God of compassion and long-suffering, and he turned away his anger many a time. I'm an idiot, a bozo, horrible. 41 times in one Psalm, 136, it says, his mercy endureth forever. Amen. The wilderness is to teach us to trust him. When I'm living in this carnal man, in this carnal nature, and the carnal man is always winning the battle, and the spiritual man is never listened to, and he's pushed away, God doesn't give up on Dave McCracken. He did not give up on his children. He does not try to beat us up and bash our heads in when we're in the wilderness. He's not about to disown us. He's already proved he loves us. He's not going to give up on us. He longs to fellowship with us and fill us and overflow through us. Listen, his blessings are not rewards. And they never have been. His blessings are grace and mercy. We don't deserve one smile from God. And the only reason he's so good to us is called grace. It's called mercy. Jerry Locke said, God is resident in all believers, but he's not reigning and radiant in all believers. See, all my prayer, my Bible reading, my sermon preparation, preaching, were always to show God, I'm trying. I really am. I mean it. I want to live for you. I want to do right. But I continue to fail and fall to the same sin and peace that didn't last. Hardness of Christianity was always at my heels. His commandments were grievous and vexing because I could not do them. There was little victory. By his kindness and God, his grace, he brought me back to the beginning. What's the beginning? Is me saying, I can't do anything. I can't save myself. I'm wicked. I'm a mess. I can't do it. But if you will save me, please save me, Jesus. I believe you died for me. You were buried, you rose again. Save me, Christ. You know what he did? He saved me. Amen. You know why? It's called grace through faith. Yeah. I was humbled. I wasn't saying, now come on, God, you should save me. You know how good I... Is everybody hearing me? Yeah. That's impossible. It will never happen. He brought me back to the beginning that I have no ability. And he has everything I need. God is saying, McCracken, I want your realization that you can't. Only I can. Come on, McCracken, realize I'm the vine. You're just a branch. Come on, son, believe me. Trust me. Receive it by faith. It's true, son. There's nothing that is expected of the branch to do on its own. I'm only a branch. I love the old song. I hope some of you know it, but God doesn't throw the clay away. Jan McDonald used to sing that all the time. I'm so glad he doesn't throw it away. I'll conclude, I told you, with Peter. Luke chapter 14, Jesus is telling his disciples, hey guys, I'm getting ready to get killed. I'm going to die. And some of you, you're going to flee. You're going to run away. And Peter interrupts the Lord and says, hey, wait. He said, if I should die with thee, I will not deny thee in any wise. I believe Peter meant it with all his heart. A few hours later, they were praying in the garden. And Jesus took a couple of them aside. We know Peter, James, and John. He said, guys, pray with me. And he went away a little bit, and he prayed. And he came back, and he goes, could you not watch with me 1 hour? And he said these words, the Spirit's willing, but the flesh is weak. Same thing that he said to me over and over. In less than 24 hours, Jesus is in Pilate's judgment hall, and he's being, tried as a criminal. Peter's outside the gate, and Peter begins to curse and swear and says, I know not the man. Don't you know that crushed Peter? Don't you know his heart was broken? He says, I'm such a coward. I walked with him. I love him. I can't believe I could do this. I'm so wicked. I'm worthless, Jesus. The Lord's crucified. Been 3 days. Mark chapter 16, some ladies went to the tomb. Stone was rolled away, and the Bible says it was a young man inside the tomb. We all believe it to be an angel. Angel says, who are you looking for? Well, we came to prepare Jesus' body. We're looking for Jesus. He said, well, he's not here. He's risen. And here's what the angel said. I love this. I have it written down. It says, no, I don't. Anyway, here's what the angel says. Go back and tell the disciples and Peter that I'm alive. It's just like in my soul. And I've been living like this for so many years, so much, that God said, hey, McCracken, I just want you to know I'm still the vine and you're my branch. Yeah. Amen. I haven't given up on you yet. I won't throw the clay away. Amen. I want to live through you. And since March, this moment by moment. It's moment by moment. I have the biggest, the grossest, and the most uncomfortable attachment in my life that I just could not shake. It's been 5 months, and I will tell you what I just told Brother Ligon. I said, has it ever bothered me since in 5 months? And I'll say, yes. But here's what I've also learned. Being tempted is not the same as sinning. And I haven't wanted to. Do you hear me? No, does it call me? Hey, and I'm going, no, thank you, Jesus. Here's what I say often. Jesus, I just want to say thank you again that you're the vine. I'm just a branch. You don't have any expectation of me on my own. I can't handle this. Thank you that you can. And it's over. Is anybody hearing me? And it's moment by moment. Someone provokes me. I was in a hotel and the person up the front, I just wanted an ironing board. They got one in the room. He said, we have one in the room. I said, I know, it's this big. I can't iron on that. I need a real American ironing board. And the young man, he's probably 22 or 3, he goes, we don't have one. I said, you're telling me that in this big, giant hotel, you don't have one regular American ironing board? He goes, we don't have any. That provokes me. Because what he should say, even if he's lying, sir, I will go check for you. Because I know there's one in the building. Even if we went and checked and he lied to me, said, no, there's none. Anyway, it just provoked me. So I went to my room and I told Nancy, well, I said, there's not one in the building. I guess I'm going to have to ask Mrs. Marshall if I can borrow hers or go to Walmart and buy it and use it for a couple hours and take it back. Or something like that. So there was a maid out in the hall when I came out. And I said, ma'am, stop just a minute. Her name was Nicole. I said, Nicole, I'd like to have an ironing board. She says, there's one in your room. I said, I know, it's a little one. I want a big one. I said, do you think you have a big one in this building anywhere? She goes, thought. She goes, you know, I think there is one downstairs. She says, let me go up front and ask him. I said, no, don't ask him. He don't know nothing. He ain't got one. She said, well, I'm not going to ask him. I'm going to ask the person that's manager over all the housekeeping. And about 5 minutes later, she brought me a real American ironing board. But Dave McCracken, you know what I would do once I got the ironing board?
Oh, yeah.
You know what this is called, Bubba? And let me tell you how you misbehaved in front of your guest. I would. I feel like he needs help. You know why? Because I was provoked. And I didn't leave the room. Because the vine said, that's not what I do. I'm telling you, I'd have done it back in January with effort. Is anybody hearing me? I'm telling you, the provocations are not as bad as they used to be. Am I still provoked? Yes, but immediately I'm going, I'm pretty sure that's not Jesus' response. The vine is real. His life is real. Love, joy, peace, gentleness, goodness, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, they are real. They're not fake. And they're so part of our life. Most mamas go, well, that's part of some mama's life, but not all of us mamas. And many husbands say, well, it's part of some husbands have got it, but I ain't. Do you hear me? I'm not making this up. It's like the life of Christ is supposed to be part of us. And it's moment by moment. It's not, Christianity is not supposed to be lived how I've lived it most of my life. It's supposed to be on the higher plane. You're not saved, friend. I want you to get saved tonight. He loves you. He wants to save you. You don't have to go to hell. He'll save you and forgive your sin tonight. And he'll fill you.
Amen.
And you can enjoy the life of Christ also. But many of us believers got to get honest with where we are. I ask you to stand. Thank you. Thank you for listening. With you, please. Our great God, I come to you again. First of all, I just want to say thank you that you let me stand in front of people and preach, and that you don't throw the clay away. And when we're in the wilderness, you don't bash our head in. You still love us. You just long to fill us, fellowship with us. Thank you. God, I pray tonight that in my life, I will continue to enjoy and know the fellowship the life of the vine and continue to be reminded, I'm just a branch. Jesus, as you speak to people, let us pray we'd say yes. We get honest. There will not be any revival. There will not be anything that happens if we're not honest. And in humbled, surrendered obedience, by faith, trust you. Thank you, Christ. Our heads are bowed and piano's begun to begin. Brother John Martin's going to be